I was realizing today that I'm actually into the fourth year of this show, so there's a wealth of material up on the archives, and I encourage listeners to subscribe to BBS, and there's a then you have access to the archive services, and we have a great volume of literature and talks dating back that 4 years on a wide variety of esoteric spiritual studies and science and cosmology and physics and also politics. Although initially when I began the show, my primary focus was on mystical and spiritual teachings, which is my interest area, and I've studied the issues of consciousness and soul and things like that for 30 years now. And then about 2 years ago, I woke up when my youngest son showed me the movie Loose Change, and it sent me into a period of research and learning more and more about what is happening in the world situation. And so, in a way, unfortunately, my show has become more and more political, and I've had less and less time for the mystical studies. But anyway, today will tend more again to be a political show, and as I woke up and realized the corruptions of our government and all the terrible things being done around the world in service of this, what they call the New World Order, and which they're now calling the idea of global governance or the global village. And this New World Order scheme is kind of being brought in around the world, and it has been by stealth, and it has been being brought in over many years now. And as I've woken up, I realized, oh, many people have known about this for 20, 30 years. But at least for me, it was a shock to awaken several years ago, and I find I can't back down from trying to help to wake people up to what is being done and join other people around the world in trying to take our governments and our countries back from these people. It's undermined our sovereignty and stealing the resources of nature, of nations, and impoverishing people and spreading sickness into our society. It reminds me of a quotation from J. Edgar Hoover. He says, "The ordinary individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists." And unfortunately, it is monstrous, and it does exist. And I think we all around the world, people are waking up to this. It's not simply a matter anymore of 10,000 people knowing that 9/11 was a fraud, that it had nothing to do with Osama bin Laden and his 18 Arab terrorists. The whole thing was a fraud. And now knowledge about this is known around the world. Not even tens of millions of people. Hundreds of millions of people are waking up to how we've been deceived. So it is pretty horrifying, and we do need to try to have courage to face these monsters upon us in modern times. So one of the things I've done over the last couple of years, I've become involved in what's called the Canadian Action Party. And this is a relatively small party in Canada, founded initially by Paul Hellyer, who was a Canadian Minister of Defense, and he served in the governments of Lester Pearson and then Pierre Elliott Trudeau. And he actually ran for the leadership of the Liberals against Trudeau at one point, but was defeated. And then afterwards, he founded the Canadian Action Party. And I happened to just come across one of his more recent books the other day. It's called Goodbye Canada. And I'd like to just read what it says on the leaf of the book. It says, "Goodbye Canada tells the story of how Canadians are being deceived by the proponents of free trade and globalization, and how the country is literally being sold out from under your feet. This is not happening by accident. Some of the richest, most powerful people on earth have been pushing the World Without Borders idea with the help of the most efficient propaganda machine in history. In reality, they are replacing popular democracy with an unelected, unaccountable world government of international bureaucrats. Paul Hellyer says that the result will be a kind of corporate imperialism intent on colonizing the smaller countries. In Canada's case, first colonization and then later annexation by the United States. Hellyer claims we have about 3 years to save Canada with the help of a new mainstream political party comprised of concerned citizens from most or all of our existing political parties. So Hellyer founded the Canadian Action Party, and the party at the high point, I think we had close to 7,000 members at one point, and lately we've kind of reached a low point of even under 500. But historically, the focus of the Canadian Action Party was against the free trade agreements, against globalization, to maintain the sovereignty of Canada, and also we wanted to use the Bank of Canada to print our own money. This is similar to the issue you have in the States, where people are beginning to realize that the Federal Reserve is not part of government, but is a private consortium of financiers. And Ron Paul movement is to take back the Fed and for the government to print their own money. Well, in Canada, we have a Bank of Canada which can print its own money, but it's not been used by our government, who instead have done favors to the financial and corporate elite by borrowing from the commercial banks even when they don't need to. So in a way, the Canadian political system became bought out and controlled by the same groups of international banksters, as some people call them, or the corporate and financial elite. Then, more recently, the Canadian Action Party became a truth party in Canada, because we've called for an investigation of 9/11. A royal commission to investigate 9/11, and 9/11 was used as the pretext for involving Canada and Canadian forces in Afghanistan. And so now we've become, as Canadians, involved in a criminal war in Afghanistan, because it had nothing to do with protecting the United States. It was simply part of the elite's plans for world domination and to have more military bases and begin to encroach upon Iran and soon to begin mass murdering more people in the Middle East. We, in a way, ourselves have become the terrorists, taking violence and wars around the world, and the whole while the population has been deceived. It really is an incredible situation. I think that the only thing I can consider that compares as a story to what's happening in modern times is The Lord of the Rings tale, where in book two you have the two towers, like the New York Towers, and you have the forces of evil which are taking over the world. And meanwhile, around the world, there are forces of goodness and people rising up and waking up to face these demon forces which are threatening to take over the world. And in book three of Lord of the Rings, it is called The Return of Righteousness. And I think we're in that situation today, that we're faced with a situation that we can slip into a totalitarian type system and new world order society, or we can recover our freedoms and democracies and liberties and justice in the world. And it's a monstrous tale that's going on. And never before in human history, in modern history, have people ever been so awake to all the deviousness and crimes of our government and what is being done in our society. So the Canadian Action Party is a truth party. We want 9/11 truth. And then last year at our convention, we passed a new policy demanding investigation of the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and CSIS, which is our intelligence community, and senior military staff. All of these people have actually become complicit in deceiving Canadians as to the cause of 9/11, involving us in a criminal war, and allowing the Canadian people to be intentionally deceived through the mass media. I mean, it really is an incredible situation. And these elites do own the media. They own 96% of all radio, television, and newspapers in North America. So the truth movement has occurred on the internet and through alternative means. Sometimes I hear people say, oh, the mass media, why don't they do their job? And I think those people don't understand. The job of the mass media is not to keep you informed. The job of the mass media is to intentionally deceive you. And the mass media have done their job. They've done it very well. Still, the majority of people think that we're over in the Middle East fighting wars to protect America because Muslims don't like your freedoms and wealth, and how ridiculous that is. The mass media, they have intentional programs how to deceive people. They have ways of intentionally trying to undermine the people who question the status quo or what is happening. They'll call you conspiracy theorists. Okay, as though anyone who's a conspiracy theorist must be a nut. But really, if you're not a conspiracy theorist, you're an idiot. Seriously, if you study history, you see that history's made of conspiracies. There's all kinds of conspiracies. Conspiracies is where people meet together in private, even around tables, and they conspire to do illegal or criminal things. There are numerous conspiracies. And they're supported by a wealth of facts, all historic facts, all kinds of evidences. If you're not a conspiracy theorist, you have no idea what's happening in our society, and you are among the sheep people. It's as simple as that. You've been brainwashed by the media. So the media are doing a good job, because their job isn't to inform you. Their job is to deceive you, and they've done a good job at that. Okay, so anyway, in the Canadian Action Party these last weeks, we've had some pretty major events unfolding. We've had the resignation of the leader, Andrew Molden, who was a medical doctor and psychologist, and Dr. Molden's kind of moved on to have more time for his professional work, looking at vaccinations and injuries caused by vaccinations. And a kind of a groundswell movement within the Canadian Party, with new people coming in and wanting to have a leader more closely connected to the membership of the party and willing and able to represent CAP more actively publicly. So at the moment, we're in the midst of a leadership race, and we're having a leadership debate on Monday through a teleconference, and then on Tuesday, the national executive will select a new interim leader. And yours truly, myself, is one of the candidates for that position. We actually have five people and running for the position, and at this point, it's really quite difficult to see how things will turn. And I'm 60 years old this year. I've never been interested in politics. I could never have imagined becoming involved in politics. But, you know, my passion is mystical and spiritual studies and science. But I feel called upon. I hope I can contribute to this party, whether or not I become interim leader. I'll still work with the Canadian Action Party. Because of my spiritual interests, I do believe in things like human justice, love for your neighbors, looking after other people in the world, sharing the wealth of the world, and to see the insanity of what I call the old world psychiatric disorder. They call it the new world order as though it's something progressive and new, but it's not new. These people, their crimes are the bloodstains through human history. It's the old world psychiatric disorder. Groups of psychopathological elites, often perverts and pedophiles, because the sexual aspect is so critical to how they blackmail people and gain control of people. So we have a pretty monstrous task to take, and if you're a Canadian listener, please learn about the Canadian Action Party. We hope to revise our sites and come out with a new program within the week. So please give us your support, and let's join together those of you out there who believe in human justice and the importance of sovereignty of nations and so on. We need to join forces, and then we around the world we need to support the similar parties and people within other countries. I like to think, let's throw the bums out. That's what I say. Our politicians, in a way, they've all become bums. How do you know when the politician is lying? His lips are moving. Let's throw the bums out and take Canada back. Okay, so we have a very interesting and important show today, and it's about the new genocidal plans of the world elites, and it's going to be all about the upcoming enforced inoculations and the criminal evidence against the pharmaceutical mafia and these companies producing these vaccines. And really, the messages of today are really quite urgent for all Canadians and Americans and people around the world to wake up to the threat posed to us all by these programs of enforced inoculations. And we have a series of guests on today. And I'm going to first introduce a fellow, Robin Shaw, who's become a member of the Canadian Action Party, and he's a native man from Red Deer. And I'm hoping that Robin will be able to step into the position of the chair, Aboriginal chair for the Canadian Action Party, which position I've held over the last while, but I'm not native, and the CAP is wanting a native representative. So I've met Robin and felt intuitively attracted to him and feel he's a brother out there and another spiritual warrior who wants to stand with us and work together. And before I bring Robin on, I'd like to share with you, Don's going to play this, is one of Robin's songs. And the song is called Sacred Land. And this is an absolutely beautiful piece, a moving, inspired piece of music. So we'd like to share that with you now. And then we'll introduce Robin Shaw.
I remember all the stories my grandpa used to tell about a time in this sacred land. The buffalo did roam out on the open plain. The eagle soared high up in the sky. There wasn't any shame, there wasn't any pain. Yes, he said, they were so very proud. They lived a simple life, Mother Nature did provide. There was no law, but there was no crime. And then the white man came, he brought his way of life. Nothing's been the same the day the white man came. Yes, they brought their whiskey and they brought their guns. They took away our land. They put us on the run. Locked us on this reservation. Changed our ways of life. Promises were made, but they were only lies. And then the white man came, he brought his way alive. Nothing's been the same the day the white man came. Someday's what he said, the nations they will rise. All the chiefs from long ago, they will be by your side. Into the battleground, a warrior you will ride, armed with years of wisdom, many years of pride.
Wow, that's a beautiful piece of music, Rob, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Christopher.
I listen to that music. It makes me feel so mournful, you know, for olden times when there was a certain purity to life and such, and how violated and desecrated our lands and waters and air has been. You know, how destroyed by the elites and our society and such. It's really quite, that's what your music brings out for me, is like the tragedy of what's happened to our life in Western civilization and around the world.
I wrote that song actually 2 hours sitting at the kitchen table. Just one of those things that just popped up. But as far as, I'm a Cree from the Peace River country, and I've never voted in any politics in my life. That's just the way Native people are. They're just not into the political stuff. And then I stumbled onto this stuff about two years ago as well, and I've been studying this like really lots here in the last 2 while. And I've seen all the injustices that happened to Native people in the past, and now I can put it all together. And now it's just so clear who's behind this whole thing. Like when you go back to 1918, when they killed millions and millions of people there with the flu pandemic then, well, that was caused by them, and it was caused deliberately by design. And the same thing is going to happen again this time. It's going to be died by design again. And it's all because of a land grab is what it is.
Yeah, that's how the colonialists intentionally gave natives blankets taken from people who had died of the smallpox in Europe, and intentionally spread disease and illness into their community to commit genocide. Yeah, historically, that's known and documented. And here we are again. It's like the same schemes, except this time their weapon of mass destruction is vaccinations and flus, because they've developed all these biological agents themselves.
Yes, they have, and it's still going on today. Like even when you're talking Iraq and those places, Kuwait and stuff like that, when they did their bombings and stuff like that, and everybody's calling it for freer countries or whatever, what they're doing with these bombings and stuff like that, they're using depleted uranium and that stuff. So what that is when they start firing these bombs off and stuff like that, it's just all the nuclear fallout, that is there forever. They had no place to get rid of all their nuclear waste, so what they did was they put them in warheads. And all these bombs that are getting dropped over on these countries now, they're not just bombs. These are loaded bombs with nuclear fallout. So this is going to be there for years and years and years. This stuff is not going away.
Yeah, the half-life of depleted uranium is over a billion years. So essentially for all the future of humankind, there's a huge volume of depleted uranium. And they have used 300,000 times more depleted uranium than was used on the nuclear weapons on Japan at the end of the Second World War. Like, just unbelievable amount. And this is detected around the world. After some of the bombing in Iraq, they could detect the fallout in areas of Texas, because these get into the winds and they're carried around the world. It is just so tragic. It's like these people have no respect for life. And that's partly what I've always respected about the Native tradition. I love honoring the elements and the air and the water and the fire and the earth and honoring the animals and the fish. And I love that in Native traditions. Is that respect for Mother Earth or Turtle Island?
You know, what's happening now with everything out there as well is all this stuff is still going on today. And what really got me going was all these all the natives all over the country, they're sick on their reserves. Like there's diabetes on the rise, MS is on the rise, all that stuff is on the rise on reserves. Like big time it's on the rise in reserves, and there's a reason why it's on the rise in the reserves. It was put there on purpose. Like do all the modified food and all your fluoridated water and anything they can get in there, and all it is is a total land grab again. But then natives still don't know. Like they don't know nothing about all this kind of stuff out there. It's going to happen again, and this time it's going to happen big time, because now they're going to just get rid of them, period. Under the North American Union and stuff like that, there will be no reserves. There will be no nothing left. There will be no nothing left for Canadian people, period. All they're going to be under is a whole system run out of the states. I guess you might as well call it under the states, but that's where it'll be centralized from. But in that, like Canada's already lost its water. They've lost everything. They've lost all their resources already, and people don't even know about this yet. You don't hear a thing on TV about it, on the news, well, because they control the news and everything like that. And our Prime Minister is right behind it. They're supporting this whole thing, along with the Liberal Party. They're supporting this whole thing. So here in Canada, like you have our Conservatives, our Liberals, your Greens, and our NDP, but nobody, not one of these people, are standing up for what is really happening, because it doesn't make no difference here in Canada who wins the rest of the world. It doesn't make no difference. There is no left and right. Like they battle on little things going up the way, but when it comes down to the final stuff, they're all after the same agenda, so it makes no difference who we put into Parliament.
Yeah, they're all New World Order parties. They're all complicit in maintaining the lies, the fraud of 9/11, and they denied the chemtrails and all the poisoning and all their legislation which gives control over Canada to these international criminal cartels. I mean, it's astonishing, and they've done it all by stealth. I mean, it's amazing how asleep Canadians are, like the mass of Americans and people in other countries.
All I can tell is any listener out there right now, here I have a really good site that people can go and learn all this information from. It's called True World History. That's one word, trueworldhistory.info. Now, if you go on that site, there's also a place on the bottom where it's medical, where you can go to medical and learn all about medical stuff. But if you learn all about your modified food and, there's modified food and what that means, is there's a pesticide right inside the food now. So if you start eating this apple, which is on the store shelves all over the place or whatever, after in time you're going to get sick. Something has to happen to you because you are eating a pesticide, and it's part of the modified food. That's what modified food is now. It's got a pesticide right inside the food. And it's not only that, like there's melamine, like you have melamine in there. There's tons of that stuff all over the place. You don't hear nothing more about it. And melamine was the stuff that they had in China a little while ago, like when the dogs died, there was a whole bunch of dogs died, and then a bunch of babies died and stuff like that. Well, this stuff also snuck into Canada, and it's in Canada in a big way. And then you got fluoridated water, and all this stuff is designed to get you sick. And the whole idea of you getting sick, and they want you sick, and the whole idea of you getting sick is because there's nothing but money when you get sick. When you go to a government-funded health care, and you get sick. Well, you're going to be in sick. If you go to a medical doctor, he's going to put you on some pill, and you're going to be on that pill for the rest of your life. And the bad part about that thing is when he puts you on these pills, who gains from all this stuff? Well, they also own the pharmaceutical companies. They own all the big corporations out there. And that's how actually they took over everything, is they've done it through the corporation.
Yeah.
So now you get sick, and this is what happens on reserves. Like diabetes is on the rise, like big time. And the reason it's on the rise is because what we're eating. So Canadian people and everybody just does their research on the food thing, you will see you are being poisoned big time. Everybody is being poisoned big time, and it's all by design.
Yeah, and through multiple means. Like we're poisoned from the air with this chemtrail spraying across Canada. and that the chemtrails have aluminum and barium matter in them, particulate matter. Even pharmaceutical drugs are detected in the chemtrail spraying. And this is being done nationwide, as it is all through the states. And
it's being done all over the world. It's being done all over the world right now. And what this is doing, all these chemtrails now, what they're doing is they're all designed to bring down your immune system.
Yeah.
Along with this modified food, you're bringing down your immune system. Like everybody in Canada, everybody in the Western world, you might as well say, is their immune system is right down now because of the stuff we're eating up. Everybody does their research on this stuff and learns about this stuff. You will see that your immune system is down. So when your immune system is down now, and then when they release this flu, and they're going to release this flu, and what is going to be a massive genocide right across the world again, it's everybody's immune system is down right now, and it was by design.
Yeah. Okay, Robin. So you're able to stay with me through the show today?
I think I might be able to stay till about 3 o'clock, but I can come back on in a half an hour. I just got to run for half an hour, but I should be able to start.
Okay. Well, I hope you can stay through as much as you can, and maybe we'll bring our next guest is Joel Lord, and Joel is involved in the group that's. Has this universal petition against enforced inoculations, and he's a Canadian who's very concerned about the genocidal plans of the New World Order elite and the enforced inoculation programs, and is trying to help organize in Canada and to get some initiatives going in terms of challenging the constitutionality of enforced inoculations and waking people up to the crimes being perpetrated against us. Joel, are you there?
I am, yes. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you for coming. I really honor you for your bravery and being so outspoken and making these efforts.
Yeah. Well, it occurred to me recently that I'm getting a lot of people responding to. We've had a tremendous reaction to this petition, which is very encouraging, and I really feel like I'm just on the crest of a wave of awakening, a mass awakening that I'm feeling from all over the board. And so I'm just one person who is very concerned about all this stuff, and I really I want to really try and demonstrate to people that the power of the individual, that you know, really positive, positive, proactive type of activism can really make a difference. And I just started with my own initiative on this, and before I knew it, I was a part of a movement that was really almost out of my hands. So so now we're looking at we're in a position where we have a myriad of options, and we're just focusing on as many ways we can successfully spread the word. And take on not only the World Health Organization but our elected governments in as exacting a way as possible. And I think all the while we're doing this, a lot of ordinary people like myself are beginning to realize their own inherent powers that a lot of people didn't know we had. So we've been the petition itself. The crux of the petition. I'll just read the opening little salvo if I can, which would be what we are sending to the WHO. So it's, we the undersigned, as free men and free women, do not recognize the authority of the World Health Organization to mandate general forced vaccinations. Our bodies are sovereign territory and subject to our exclusive self-determination. Any attempted violation of this trust must be construed as a breach of said basic right. We are thus holding our elected governments accountable in this defense with an issuance of notice, a preemptive class action lawsuit to be served in the event our inalienable rights to choose are forsaken. So that's where we began with this, and I deliberately put a lot of effort into making this petition not only an effective salvo that we could really send to resonate throughout the halls of the United Nations, but also as an information bomb that could be given to send right into the households of ordinary people to awaken them to a lot of what's going on. I mean, we touch on a lot of different issues in the petition. Certainly the Nuremberg Code, which again has just been overlooked constantly in this, through this whole process of this manufactured pandemic and all the hype that's been coming out of the CDC and the WHO and the Obama administration, Canadian government, right across the board. So, this is an opportunity to demonstrate to ordinary people that the power is in your hands. We can fight back. We have to get organized and we have to galvanize together very quickly. And that's why we see this, this class action suit is really only the first step in a major campaign. This petition, is following right on the heels of, a set of injunctions that we're also looking into. I've been working closely with Dr. Bill Deagle in California, and he's called me a number of times, and I've been on his show, Nutra Medical Report, and we have we've been looking at the power of the Pro Se Citizens Petition as another potential way in which we can really this to the government. So that's really where we stand now. We're looking at these. We have various salvos. We have the class action suit will likely be. We're going to get as organized as we can. We're actually setting up a very important formal website, which will hopefully be getting donations from around the world that we can put towards hiring some very effective lawyers to get on board with us and take this as far as it can go. And the injunctions, again, it's a learning curve for a lot of people, including myself. I can go into details about that if you're interested, if people want to know a little more about it. But there's a lot of information here, so
Joel,
it's a learning curve.
Joel, perhaps first, how can people get to your petition? Put in, do a Google Universal Petition?
Best way to get on is I recommend just get onto Google and Google the opening bit of the petition title. It's the most effective way. So you want to Google, just spell out, type out a universal declaration of resistance.
Okay.
And that'll get you onto a, you'll have about two or three pages of direct links to the petition site. And please go on. And it's very important that you put some personal feedback on the site itself, because I notice a number, I'd say about a good 25% of the signees are omitting their name. They're just, they're going in there as unnamed signee. Now, that's okay, and that's fine, but again, I want to encourage people not to be afraid of the government, and not to be afraid of these threats that have been coming down the pipe. I know a lot of people are concerned about martial law, and that. I mean, I've had people tell me, "Look, I can't sign this petition because I feel you're just giving the government a key to your back door." Now, I really think that we have to snap out of that kind of fear mongering. And realize that, look, they're supposed to work for us. There's a faction, the upper echelons of government that is extremely corrupt. And we know what's going on. We know about the eugenics plan out of the United Nations. And again, there's a whole bit on the petition, which I deliberately put in information there that directly, demonstrates the complicity of the United Nations in the spreading of AIDS. I can lay that out for you anytime, but again, there have been a lot of medical researchers like Leonard Horowitz and others who have delved into this deeply over the years, and we know it. We know that these were bioweapons. A lot of this experimentation that was done via various different mass vaccination programs, utilizing these live viruses that were implanted, embedded into major vaccination programs, like certainly the polio vaccination program in the mid-50s. For 10 years, you had SV40, which was a chimpanzee. Essentially, they were using chimpanzee kidneys to grow this virus in. Now, they were already infected, and so they took the blood from these chimps and mixed it with this polio vaccine and spread that amongst the public. And then they took the blood back from people who were already infected from it after the fact, and they mixed it with feline virus, another virus. And so you had a virus compounding on a virus. And then as we moved into the 70s, you had what was called Bulletin 47 out of the World Health Organization, which called for an experimental virus that would destroy the human T-cell system. And they wanted a three-step program to feed this on the public, and it was all about population modification. And, of course, then you had the Hep B mass vaccination program in the mid-70s, and the smallpox program in Central Africa, and these all dovetailed. So you had this immunity failure from a generation that had gotten these polio shots in the 50s, giving birth to children who already had compromised immune systems, or in some cases were still alive, and were then embedded with this toxic vaccine, the Hep B vaccine in the 70s. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out this is how you create a devastating pathogen, a virus that is unstoppable like AIDS. And I really think that what we're dealing with now is a very similar type of bioweapon in this new one. And I certainly agree with your last caller that, this vaccination program is clearly very suspicious. And the fact that they're spending so much money and such a thorough campaign to get everybody vaccinated, they're targeting young children, pregnant mothers. I mean, the hot list of people they want to get this to right off the bat is very disturbing.
Native Canadians will be targeted early on because Native Canadians pose a challenge to the New World Order scheme because a lot of their treaty rights. So for them, it's much easier to commit genocide against Canadian natives rather than to have to negotiate treaties and face such trouble.
Yeah. And I would be very concerned as well, because of course, the targeting of First Nations people through these eugenics programs is infamous out of the World Health Organization, and we know that they're, you know, a lot of the eugenics directives are aimed at First Nations people, along with certainly the black population and other groups throughout the world. They're very specific, and I'm very concerned that this vaccine contains a specific pathogen that targets First Nations people in particular, and that's why they have these universal blood banks, these data blood banks, and why they've been doing all this experimentation on genetic manipulation and So, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. But you know what? I'm determined and I'm smart and I can read through the lines and I know what's going on. And this smells to high heaven. And again, I think I'm very excited because a lot of ordinary people are finally waking up to this. A lot of people who never even knew what the word eugenics meant.
Yeah.
I've actually talked to people who literally had to pick up a dictionary to find out what eugenics was. And for them now, some of these people are actually able to talk about it at their kitchen table and not shy away from it. So this is I think we're at a crucial point in history where they have overstepped their bounds. And this is, to me, this is an indication of a very, very foolhardy attempt on their part to round everyone up and get everyone infected with this really destructive vaccine. And of course, as you look into the vaccine as well, the petition I released details the main problem that I saw right off the bat, that this is a fueled with what's called squalene adjuvant. Now, this squalene oil, for anyone who hasn't heard, this squalene oil is a synthetic derivative of crude oil, and it is extremely toxic. It does not belong in the human body, much like fluoride or mercury or arsenic, cyanide, any of them, barium, of course, in the chemtrails and all that. None of these toxic elements belong in the body. But what's particularly dangerous about the squalene oil, it is explosive. It literally, it accelerates the virus. So what they're asking us to believe is that it is safe for us to use a squalene adjuvant, which will multiply the effect of the virus. They're going to put they're going to inject it with a live H1N1 reawakened Spanish influenza virus into this vaccine. They're also going to put an H5N1 bird flu virus into this vaccine, and they're going to accelerate it. They're going to create with this squalene oil. And you're going to and that into the human body, and you're talking about a firestorm. Of course, Gulf War syndrome, directly attributed to this catalytic breakdown in the body, in the soldiers, the Gulf War vets, and we have a number of Gulf War vets in the vaccine resistance movement. And a number of whom I've talked to who are dying right now. They're dying, and they're dying because they had this squalene oil injected into their bloodstream, and it is wreaking havoc on the system. You're looking at, you've got severe arthritis, multiple sclerosis, lupus disease, Guillain-Barré syndrome, right down the line. I mean, you thought mercury was bad. Well, this adjuvant makes mercury look like a glass of milk. And that's, I think, what I'm absolutely sickened by the there seems to be this schism between what is where are the doctors who will stand up for us? I mean, we're getting these charlatans coming forward, these doctors out of the World Health Organization who are a bunch of crooks. Any doctor with their weight, with any sort of credibility, will recognize that these are extremely harmful elements, and they do not belong in the human body. And I am desperately searching for doctors to have the courage to come forward and speak the truth about these vaccines.
Yeah, these forces have taken over, like the medical establishment. I mean, the doctor, the Canadian Medical Association, and the AMA, these bodies are complicit because they've been infiltrated by these same criminal elites. And then any doctor who speaks out is in fear of being censored or have his license taken away. These people in all these
alphabet soup agencies, including the World Homicidal Organization. These people all need to be brushing up on their Nuremberg rights, because they're complicit by their silence.
Yes, exactly. And of course, if you look at the history of the United Nations, anybody who knows their history that you won't find in the high school texts. I mean, the United Nations was originally set up as the future head of one world government, or what's called global governance. It was to be the headquarters of the world policing force, and the hub of the nexus point of the eugenics program. And they're working on all cylinders now. I mean, you had what was called the rat line out of Germany. You had the best and the brightest of Hitler's scientists who were smuggled out at the end of World War II, many of whom were sent down to South America, and they were smuggled up into the United States, and where did they go? They took over as assistant heads of pharmaceutical companies like IG Farben, Bayer Aspirin, Merck, all the usual suspects. And of course, they were filtered into NATO and the United Nations, and here they are now. I mean, it's the United Nazis, and you know, more so than the United Nations. I mean, you know, I'm blown away. I'm blown away by the, again, right, I'm just an ordinary person here. I mean, I have a daughter, right? I'm extremely concerned about her welfare. She is going to be, subject to these, she's going to be swept up in something that is beyond her control. I mean, you take an 11-year-old child and you force them into this kind of hell. And, you know, we, as parents, we have an obligation to defend our children. If we know something that we can prevent, we have to do everything in our power to stop it. I mean, I'm not hiding my name. I'm not, you know, operating under some sort of pseudonym. I am sticking my neck out here, for her sake as well as mine and my loved ones around me, and my friends, many of whom think I've gone completely over the deep end, but they're living in fear. They're living in denial. And, you know, and there are going to be many people who are going to make the foolish mistake of allowing they're going to allow their children to get shot up with this the first week of September. And God help them. I mean, really, God help them, because this is, I think this is the day that has come. This is a turning point in history. The United Nations, the New World Order has, you know, they are moving into their final stage now. I think this is the militaristic stage of the New World Order. This is it. And it, you know, and unless we stand up together, we are, you know, many of us are going to die. And of course, you look at the patterns in the past. Look at how they're manipulating the media now with this, with all this nonsense and all this hype. You have 500,000 people a year normally, die of, the flu around the world. 36,000 a year in the United States, upwards of, on a bad year, 7,000 in Canada. And again, you just go right around the world, and it's the same. and what we're dealing with here, every single instance, every example they're using, all these people who have supposedly had the swine flu, all pre-existing medical conditions, compromised immune systems. Vast majority of those who got sick come from countries with pre-existing health problems. You know, they with water problems, hygiene, you name, you know. And again, I'm absolutely shocked that there aren't more leaders coming forward and giving us some support here. You do begin to feel like you're really out in a bit of the wilderness on this. You know, I mean, here we are discussing this as civilized human beings, and yet we're not getting support from our governments. I can't call up my local constituency, my local my MPs, and expect them to go to bat for us. So we're going to have to blackmail our government to support us. That's very discouraging, in a so-called democracy, that we literally have to blackmail our own government to defend our rights. But I think they've forced us into a corner, and that's just what we're going to have to do. Hello?
It's like, where are the RCMP? Like, they no longer serve and protect Canadian citizens. They're actually complicit in covering up these schemes. I mean, to file complaints against the RCMP and demand that they conduct criminal investigations. I mean, we have this Austrian journalist who's filed these charges against the World Homicidal Organization and the UN bodies and such, and she names these people who they are. And how could the government possibly go ahead and try to enforce inoculations while there are criminal charges pending against the same people who not only manufacture the vaccine, but they manufacture the flu in the first place through their recombinant DNA and such?
She's getting so close to the source of evil that, I don't expect any of the people on her list to be indicted. I applaud her courage, and I think that Jane has done a remarkable deed on behalf of the public. But again, I don't think we're going to see much movement from the government based on her injunction. What we will hopefully get is a mass awakening amongst the general public. I mean, you look at past tyrannies. I mean, look at Romania, when you had, millions upon millions of people simply stormed the government and overthrew Ceausescu and put him to death, and just, it was a public execution. And similar to the French Revolution or anything. We have it in our power. The RCMP does not represent the people. I wish it did, but it is. I don't see that. But what I do see is that we are the majority.
And we have to
re-embrace our warrior spirit, I think, and learn how to proactively, peacefully convert all this evil into solutions.
And also, I think we need to work with the RCMP, because I think the majority of men and women in the RCMP have integrity and are intending to serve Canadians. But what happens is they become compartmentalized and they don't grasp it. It's like, we need to appeal to the RCMP to stand up to their oaths of office.
I spoke with a policeman. We actually tried to serve Jane Burgermeister's criminal charges here in Vancouver. Now, of course, we were rejected right at the wicket, police headquarters. We didn't expect it to be accepted, but we wanted to make a point, and we videotaped the scene. And I spoke directly with an officer. Now, he told me, as we went into detail about because we know how the government operates, we are, I should just backtrack a bit. There's a system in place in Canada. We have a version of the Patriot Act called Bill C-7, which gives the government a short window of dictatorial power under conditions of a so-called emergency. There are about 12, including the health minister, who have dictatorial power to assert mandatory vaccinations on the public. Your Charter of Rights and Freedoms are waived. There are no exemptions. There are no waivers acceptable. And no lawyers are allowed to intervene. So it really is dastardly. And yet, it exists. And it's going to be used. Now, I'm certain of it, and I would stake my life on that that is how it's going to play out. And I put it to this officer, well, listen, we know this is going to happen. This is the, this law was put in place, for just this type of scenario. Now, what are you going to do given the, the government, enforces this law? How are you going to respond? And he said, well, he says, as a, you know, I work for the government, and as a peace officer, I will do everything in my power to defend that law.
Yeah.
So, there you go. I mean, the police are going to stand by it. They're going to defend the government. They're going to, I mean, I hope to God there are going to be some officers and RCMP out there, like you say, with the guts to do what's right. If that is the case, that would be what insurrection. And when you have insurrection, inevitably you're going to see martial law. And of course, we have everything in place here in Canada, for a state of martial law. We even have a quarantine act, by the way, that nobody knows about. We have a whole system in place that mirrors the U.S. system. CANCOM and NORTHCOM troops merged. There was a secret deal in 2007 that we're living under now. Everything is in place. I mean, if things fall apart here, and the police are fighting amongst themselves, and the RCMP as well, we're going to see NATO troops crossing over from Seattle into Canada and beating down our doors and marching and there'll be SUVs riding through our streets, and there's not a damn thing we'll be able to do about it
unless it begins to fall apart at some point and there's resistance,
right?
Because the soldiers and the police begin to wake up and say, no, let's not go ahead with this insanity. These people murder the police and the military as well. I mean, they don't care. Everybody's being sprayed with their chemtrails. I did want to
address
two things here, Joel. Firstly, I did have a compromise suggestion. I think we should begin the enforced inoculations on all our government military and police officials who want to be part of this enforced inoculations, that we begin with them. That we begin with them and all the employees of Baxter Pharmaceutical and such, that we begin the enforced inoculations with them, because of course we want to protect them in case there's a disease in society. So we should begin with them in the enforced inoculations. But I need to, Joel, I hope you can continue to stay on with us for a little while more. I do want to bring our next guest in. This is Wayne Pronti, I think is how you pronounce Wayne's name. And Wayne's been very important in Canada, starting up the Keep the War Criminals Out campaign and the website. Wayne, are you there?
Yes. Good afternoon, Christopher and gentlemen. I'm here.
But thanks for joining us, Wayne. Have you been hearing some of the show? Can you jump in with anything immediately came up for you, or...?
Yes, I have been listening quite intently. Well, first off, Joel has just done an amazing job putting this together. I was able to get in touch with him after I'd heard him on the Dr. Deagle show and searched around and found his information that he was on Facebook. So I went on there and joined up and connected with him, and he got right back to me. And within about a week, we were able to put a meeting together in Vancouver with a number of other people that I know who are very concerned with this issue, and started to talk about, you know, the things that we can do about this. And of course, he'd already got quite a good start in compiling the information, as well as getting that petition up and so on, and was wanting to start filing injunctions here in Canada. So we have been collaborating, and he's been focusing primarily on legal stuff. And as he mentioned, there is this move on now at the behest of the World Health Organization to have vaccinations. Now, under normal circumstances, there is no such thing, contrary to popular opinion, there is no such thing as mandatory vaccine data. And there's a website called VRAN, V-R-A-N, I believe it's .com or possibly .org, anyways, where you can find out more information about that. However, as Joel correctly points out, and you yourself, Christopher, I believe, also pointed out, that these things can be overridden, first of all, through the notwithstanding clause in the Constitution, as well as through what Joel's calling the Canadian Patriot Act, Bill C-7. So there is a number of things that they can do there. And I guess the big thing that one of the major things that we're concerned with is that Canada is a signatory to the WHO, World Health Organization, and they have created what is called the IHR, the International Health Regulations. And it stipulates in there that any recommendations of the WHO are binding upon all signatories, of which there are, I believe, over 180 countries, including Canada.
Yeah.
So if they recommend mandatory vaccinations, Canada is basically obliged to go along with that, and what they would have to do is to declare a national emergency of some sort in order to do that. And so I'm really happy that Joel is focusing on that, trying to raise the alarm about it and to take some legal action. And we've discussed a couple of different possibilities of trying to combat that. One of that is the civil injunction by individuals across Canada. We've talked about a class action suit, so I guess that is now in discussion with some of the people he's been in contact with. And I also raised the possibility of doing a reference directly to the Supreme Court of Canada. So we are going to, we're not lawyers. We're just concerned citizens who are doing our best to inform ourselves and to inform others of what we know. And I'm hoping that we are going to get some lawyers on board of those who have got a lot of legal experience to help us out with those issues. And what I am basically focusing on more is getting the information out to people, which is more my forte, my expertise. I've been heavily involved with the 9/11 Truth Movement since its inception here in Vancouver in 2006, and I have helped to grow that movement, as well as you said, I'm with War Criminals Out, warcriminalsout.com, and as well as I've been involved with the Canadian Action Party over the last 3-4 years. And so I have quite a base of contacts across Canada and the United States as well, but primarily in Canada. So I'm trying to, I've been trying to contact people that I know who have studied the 9/11 issue. I think that's very crucial for people to understand what really happened on 9/11, that it was, a false flag, operation, intelligence operation. And a psychological operation. I think that those people who understand what those terms mean, and I'll explain that in a moment, are in the best position to see that this, what is going on now with the H1N1 virus and the vaccination agenda, that it's, again, another false flag and psychological operation taking place.
Yeah.
And a false, if you look at in the dictionary, basically what it is that it's a covert operation conducted by governments, corporations, or other organizations which are designed to deceive the public in such a way that the operations appear as though they're carried out by other entities. Or, and I'll add this caveat, that it might be made to appear as though something's happened by mistake or incompetence when it was actually done by design, or there was a deliberate failure involved. And so the H1N1 virus has been studied by a number of scientists who are outside of the big pharma industry and outside of the WHO, and they say that this is definitely a lab-created virus. We know that they actually dug up people who were from the 1918, who died during the 1918 pandemic. They dug up people who were buried in the permafrost in the north years ago now, I think in the last 5 or 10 years ago now, and were experimenting on trying to allegedly create a vaccine, and thinking that this might come back. Well, apparently it did come back. This H1N1 bears a lot of resemblances to the 1918 virus, and it could be that it was deliberately released. It could be that it was accidental. We don't know that, but in either case, the symptoms are very much the same. So why would they do this? Well, we do know that Big Pharma, their profits, their stocks are just going through the roof right now.
Yeah.
So there is a motive there to want to have this pandemic. Now, being I kind of call this thing a double false flag or a double psychological operation, because we have been hearing for the last 4 or 5 years, every year they've been warning us about bird flu's coming, bird flu's going to get us. And, of course, it did not materialize. So I think people are really off guard on this, and assuming now that because they're saying, oh, swine flu is now the one that's going to get you, they're going, that's BS, it's not going to happen, whatever. And so I think people have really got their guard down, and I think that was deliberate, that people now have their guard down on this. And so you have a lot of people think this is going to amount to nothing. There's a lot of the scientists are saying, no, this is going to come back in several different waves, and it is the 1918 pandemic all over again, basically. So it is going to get progressively worse and more dangerous. And, of course, what they're promoting for it, against it, is things that will not work, including vaccines. And I think, as Joel was mentioning earlier, that, you know, these things are full of toxic chemicals as well as parts from other animals and so on and so forth. There's, you know, the few places you can go on the internet to look at what are the ingredients, just Google that, what are the ingredients of vaccines, and you'll find out that there's no way that these things could possibly be good for you. So on the other hand, we've also got what happened in the, I believe it was in Poland, and Jane Burgermeister reported on this, is that the firm Axter, they were doing a test run on some subjects in Poland who were homeless people, street people, of their new vaccine, and it killed them. You know,
yeah.
It was this was just a test run of it, and it killed them. You know, so people have to understand. You know, and they were caught in another incident as well, putting live viruses into vaccines.
Yeah.
So people have to understand that number one, vaccines don't work. They're full of crap that if anything is going to lessen your immunity, hurt your immune system. They could contain live viruses. There's all kinds of evidence that they have been used in third world countries as part of what Joel alluded to, a eugenics program. And certainly there's no evidence that vaccines actually help.
No.
Okay? So
they couldn't be. How could they have devised the vaccines and tested it when they've just identified the H1N1 flu within the last couple months? I mean, it's totally impossible.
Right. And the curious thing is that the company Baxter, who's the primary distributor involved in this and whose stocks are going through the roof, they actually, it has just come out that they actually patented their H1N1 swine flu vaccine a year ago in 2008.
Yeah,
well, isn't that just lucky?
Yeah. Wayne, I want to take control for a moment here. I wanted to comment on one thing you said and then take it back to Joel again, because Joel, I think, needed to move on, but I would like some final comments from him. You had said at one point about the different avenues for us taking legal action, like civic injunction, class action suits, Supreme Court. I just wanted to comment, we need to try to take on as many of those routes as we can. Like, we need to be filing, if we can, injunctions across the country, and we need to take it to the Supreme Court. We need to try all of these avenues. But at least that's my perspective. Maybe just take it back to Joel. Joel, are you still there?
I am, yeah.
Okay, sorry, Joel. I know you couldn't stay with us through the whole program, so I did want to try to give you the focus back, and maybe you had some final things you'd like to share, or what can people do to help you and join in this?
Sure. Just a quick to add to what Wayne was saying. It is, in fact, 194 signatory countries, so that doesn't leave too many. You know, a small handful of countries around the world that are not directly connected to this contract. It is a dastardly problem. One of the things I just wanted to mention was I think the military have frequently been used as hosts for these viruses, and we see it time and time again. During the Spanish influenza, it was infected GIs who brought this Spanish influenza over to Europe, where it quickly exploded. Well, there were, I guess, two waves of it, but the second most effective wave, you saw upwards of astounding number of people. 8 million people died in 1 month in Madrid, Spain, and that was where the name originally was adopted from. But I think we can't say enough, we can't stress enough about how the military, the GIs, are frequently the fodder in these mass vaccination programs. They are frequently the most convenient carriers or hosts of these viruses. And of course, they get inoculated just before leaving for these overseas missions. And it's a perfect perfect convenient opportunity for these, if there is anything toxic that they want to spread around the world, what a better way to do it than to make a GI sick and send them over to overseas where they know they will be in conditions where the hygiene is poor and where these viruses can spread. So that I just wanted to interject that thought. Just quickly, if I could just make crystal clear to people, we need your help, okay? We need doctors to come forward. We need human rights, civil rights lawyers to come forward, right? It doesn't matter if you're fresh out of university. We need your help, okay? We need if there are any constitutional law experts out there, we need Canadian constitutional law experts, but also law experts from different regions around the world to come and join us in this cause. All right, I should just mention, apart from the way of accessing the petition via a Universal Declaration of Resistance on Google, you can also reach me through the Vaccine Resistance site on Facebook and just Google Vaccine Resistance Movement. We're in the process now of setting up a mega website away from Facebook. I wouldn't be half surprised if we get shut down on Facebook pretty soon because we're making a lot of waves. But please don't let this opportunity go to waste. Please get involved. This is going to affect you and me, our children, our children's children. This is our future now. Please, don't turn away from this broadcast and do nothing. Get involved. Get in touch with us. It's very important. We have very little time, and you can be a part of these injunctions. You can be a part of this class action suit. You can be a part of a lot of things, and you can begin to spread the word in your communities. But we have to get the right information out. We know what's going on, and we want more people to know what's going on, but we have to organize, and we have to organize effectively. So that's mainly what I'm asking is that people, this is a very rapid learning curve, but we're all in this together. 2 years ago, yeah. I didn't know any of this information for the most part. I had cursory knowledge of this stuff, but within a year, I learned a lot about the medical industry. I know a lot of medical terminology now that used to be gibberish to me, but now it makes sense. And I'm just asking that, please, do this for yourself, do this for your children, but you've got to get involved. I was talking to Wayne recently about this. This is a new form of activism. We need activists who are willing to go the distance. We can't just protest anymore. It's not enough. we've got to use the system to help us. And if the system itself is totally corrupted and is not going to give us what we need, then we need to reinvent the system.
Yeah.
But we can do it together because we are the majority and they are the criminals. And we must never forget that, right? That's really my piece.
Yeah, and we need to ask those military and police out there, don't become complicit in this. It's going to affect you and your grandchildren. It's going to affect our whole of our society. So many people in our services, if they could grasp what is being done, I think they would turn against these tyrants who have, like I say, the scum rises to the top. And that's what happened within our government and our military. The scum has risen to the top. And they perform a total disservice to the men and women of their own forces. Like the fact that the RCMP failed to investigate this, and they, you know, this is of no service to their own men and women. We need honorable men and women in the military and our own RCMP to start within their ranks to come together and start opposing this. Surely there has to be some men and women still with integrity in the public service. Wayne, anything, can we flip over to Wayne for a minute?
All right, I better go, gentlemen.
You're off, Joel. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you again if we can get you back. And, Wayne, take care. I'll talk to you soon. And thank you very, very much for giving us this voice.
Yeah, I hope you'll come back. We can't let this die.
I'll certainly do that. Okay?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Joel.
All right, guys. All the best.
Thank you, Joel.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, that was nice. That was Joel Lord. And I do encourage people. See, we have to come together. We, you know, people in this movement, we do it. We put our lives at risk. Joel is someone who puts his life at risk to do what he's doing. We need help. He needs donations. We need lawyers. We need doctors. We need people who are supposed to be giving these inoculations. You're very soon going to be in a very awkward position, you healthcare workers, giving poisons out to people which you ought to know are questionable. And you are subject to Nuremberg standards. See, everybody just says, I was just doing my job. I was just doing what I was told. But according to the Nuremberg decisions, that is not an excuse for your complicity in these schemes. And these media people who are going to now have this big, fancy propaganda through the media and are helping to foster the fear-mongering to try to encourage people to get your vaccinations, you people in the media need to know that you're engaged in treasonous activity, and you also are subject to Nuremberg standards for your complicity in this. And when you're on TV selling inoculations, you should know that we're videotaping you and we're getting your names, because you are going to be charged when we take it back from these criminal elite. This is all going to come undone. We're going to take our society back from these people. By will of God, we'll take it back. Sorry. Is that Robin? Are you still there?
I'm still here, yes.
Okay, we'll just come back to Robin, Wayne, and then we'll continue on.
Sure.
Any comments, Robin?
Yes, I'd like to touch on something that Joel was saying himself.
Yeah.
People not stepping forward and stuff like that. Well, I myself have had this knowledge now for about 2 years. And I was doing the same thing. I wouldn't wear my T-shirt or anything like that. I have a 9/11 T-shirt and stuff like that. And I wouldn't wear my T-shirt and stuff like that just because you're setting yourself up as a target, too.
Hello?
I've had this knowledge now for about 2 years. And I myself, I wouldn't even wear my T-shirt because I was like a target and everything like that, too. But then the more and more I saw into this thing, I had no choice. I had to speak up. I have to do something, because if I didn't say nothing, everything was going to happen regardless. But now this way, at least I might be able to get out there and stop this somehow with what everybody's doing here. But I totally understand what he was talking about there.
Yeah, we need to come together and we need to be warning people. And I'm hoping that the Canadian Action Party is going to step into this and be part of a national campaign and hopefully work more closely with Joel and other activists like Wayne here.
And as far as that goes, I was saying a couple minutes ago, I've never voted in my life. I'm 54 years old and I have never voted. And I got interested in CAP here a couple months ago as well, and CAP is the only party that is exposing this stuff. So I joined CAP, and now I will vote for CAP all the time, and I would recommend everybody else to do the same thing. And then there's one more thing he was talking about there. It's this flu is going to be a killer flu. If you take this shot, guaranteed something bad is going to happen to you. But there is a way you might be able to get around this whole thing anyways, and that's a homeopathic way. If you start taking oregano oil, colloidal silver, and stuff like that, and you have this choice right now. And the bad part is you have this choice right now to make this decision. Like, you can either go this way or go the other way. So you have this choice. How to make this decision, but you're not going to have this choice very soon because they're trying to get rid of health food stores and everything else in there. So you're not going to have that choice pretty soon. You have that choice now, so stock up on your stuff to get what you can get.
Yeah, just to repeat that for listeners, Robin has said colloidal silver and oregano oil, and these are natural antibiotics. And they're very, very worthwhile to have as supplements. And also there's a homeopathic remedy, I think it's called Influenzium or something like that, which is a whole homeopathic regimen. So people, we do need to build our immune systems and use these natural antibiotics. I mean, if the government was really interested in the health and well-being of Canadians, they would be distributing these natural remedies. But the government would never do that.
Yeah, because all the pharmaceutical companies and medical doctors are all tied in together. If you go to a medical doctor and you have a disease, all the medical doctor is going to do is treat a symptom. He does not care about a cure or anything like that. All they will do is treat a symptom, and what that means is pill after pill after pill after pill. So who's the real drug trafficker and everything like that? Every time you go and get a pill from a doctor, and he's going to keep you on there for life once you have some kind of disease, which they give you in the first place.
Yeah.
Who's the one that's making all the money from all that stuff?
Yeah.
They are.
Well, if I might jump in at that point, first of all, Robin, a pleasure to meet you this way, and I want to applaud you for standing up on behalf of the First Nations peoples and getting involved in this. Extremely important. This whole vaccine agenda, to my way of looking at it, and I have been studying it for a number of years as well, and as I said, I mean, I got involved in this by looking into what happened on 9/11, and I questioned from the day that it happened, and, you know, I spent a number of years on the internet researching this and getting involved in various forums and various chat rooms and so on, but doing it anonymously and doing so under nicknames and so on and so forth. Now, I decided back in 2006, no, I have to get out there and be who I am, full name. I have nothing to hide from anybody. I'm not doing anything illegal here. I'm just trying to be a good citizen, being a good neighbor, a good human being, and give people the information that I have researched and that others have researched, and let them make up their own minds about it. And I'm very open, very public about who I am. I've got a number of different websites that I publish. I'm out there with my T-shirts. I'm out there on the street as a street activist. I was going back to what Joel was saying, you know, that we cannot wait for a huge organization to develop around this, just the peace movement, and then twice a year you have a huge rally with, you know, 10,000 people show up and protest and 2 hours later go home and nothing gets done. That's not going to cut it. We need people who have this information, who know this information, who understand the eugenics agenda, understand the New World Order agenda, to get involved in this. You cannot be a spectator anymore. This is a false flag event that is going to impact you in the next couple of months, if not weeks. There is no doubt in my mind about that we are all going to be affected by this, either by being directly infected by the virus, or with the government coming down on us and wanting to inject us with these so-called vaccinations. And if what I want to say about that is the whole vaccination agenda is that this is not science. This is a religion. These people are promoting stuff that is unproven, untrue, untried, untested, and they are even wanting to put these things out now untested on the market with no liability whatsoever for these people, okay? You have to understand that, and if nobody is going to be held accountable for any of this, why on earth would you allow them to want to inject you with this crap? Okay, so people have to get this, and they have to start getting this information out to other people. And to do that, now I have taken it upon myself in the last few weeks to put together two DVDs on this topic. One dealing specifically with H1N1 as a false flag event, and another one dealing with specifically information about the vaccine issue and what other people who are not affiliated with Big Pharma know about this, and who have studied this for many years, people who are outside of the system, and what they can tell you from a scientific basis. And so I'm trying to get those out. In fact, both of you gentlemen, I'm going to be sending yours out today, and I'm trying to get these out to people to get them into the hands of activists, people who want to take action, so that they can make copies of these and get out on the street and talk to people and give them to them. We're working on putting together a few simple flyers and so on and so forth. Obviously, you know, the media themselves and the government making a big deal about this, so it is on people's minds, and they're putting fear into people. I mean, this is basically why I say it's religion. They are putting fear into people and then giving them a bunch of voodoo, not science. As the solution, and if you don't do this, we're going to do this or that. It's all a control issue. So right. People need to get this information. So I've just tried to put something together on my own. These are fairly professional looking DVDs, but for a small fee, you can contact me, and I will send these to you, and you can then just make copies of them and get them out to people. So I'll give you. I don't have a website up for this yet, particular issue yet, but I hope to in the near future. But in the meantime, if any of your listeners wanted to email me, it's a big secret. That's ABIG and then underscore secret at yahoo.ca. Okay, and I will send you the information about these DVDs. More than that, I can't say on air right now. But it is imperative that people get this information or start getting information, whatever they can through the internet, and start making copies, printing this material out and getting it to people. I've also been sending out, in the last few weeks, a lot of people that I'm in touch with are sending me stuff. I'm collating that into basically a newsletter that I'm sending out every few days with a bunch of different articles. And now
can people get on your mailing list, Duane? I personally really appreciate being on your mailing list. Every day is really important articles that you send out and links for people. How do people get on? Well, I guess write you at @big_secret@yahoo.ca, and can they get on your mailing list?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's just one of my personal email accounts, and I'm just adding people to that as they write to me. Now, I just wanted to bring this up for the sake of Rob, and this was in one that I sent out just the other day. Are you aware that that there are First Nations leaders meeting in Calgary this weekend, and they are promoting the vaccine?
Yes, I know, and that's really, really troubling. That's one of the first things I want to do is get a hold of these people and get everything going. I should be doing that actually pretty soon once we've got everything together here. I will be talking to probably...
Yeah, I believe it was the Assembly of First Nations.
Yeah, the Assembly of First Nations. Yeah, they had their meeting already. They have their leader now. So I'll probably be contacting him next week as soon as we have all this information together. And there's one more thing I'd like to say to your listeners here. One more thing I'd like to say to your listeners. If anybody doesn't think this is true or anything like that, your life is on the line right now. And if you don't care about your life, that's fine and dandy, but you also have kids or everybody has got family. So to your listeners, I strongly recommend do your research. do your research on this subject, because you do have family, and all they can really depend on now is you, because you're listening to and you're listening to this now. So do your research, and then you can probably, you might be able to save some of your family, if not for yourself.
Yeah, there's just very such an emergency, as Alex Jones says, mayday, mayday, you know, distress call, like, wake up, citizens, before we're dying mass deaths in the street and across the nation, mayday, mayday.
Well, that's what's happening.
Christopher,
right now.
Maybe I'll just pick up on that note, because, I mean, I listened to Alex Jones for many, many years, and I got a lot of great information from Alex Jones, from listening to his show, from his various websites and so on. But I do think that he is alarmist, and we hear several times a week from him these mayday calls, and that puts a lot of people to sleep. After a while, they brush it off and think, yeah, he's bluffing again, he's blowing smoke, nothing to worry about, everything will be fine, we'll wake up tomorrow and everything will still be the same, and, you know, life goes on. And in this particular instance, I can't impress it upon people enough to take this issue seriously. I just published another newsletter in the last couple of hours, and in it I've got an article in there from the Daily Express UK, and they're big, huge banner headlines. I happened to see it on the news rack when I went to the store last night, and it said swine flu will kill 350 people every day, and then it goes on to detail the fact that, well, for one thing, that amounts to, even at the maximum, a death rate up to 0.35% if this were to happen, which is actually not very much to begin with. But it goes on to state that what the government of the United Kingdom have only right now is something called Tamiflu. And it's very important for your listeners to know that Tamiflu is not going to do anything and could actually do you more harm than good in this instance. I've cited in a follow-up to this article in my newsletter the fact that it has been reported here in Canada, in the United States, in Texas, in Japan, and I believe it was in Denmark, that this H1N1 is Tamiflu resistance. And yet here is the government of the UK promoting this as their drug of choice for combating this at this moment. And it could actually make things worse for you. And the same thing goes for, and again, I'm not a doctor. I can't give you medical advice. However, if you research this for yourself, you find out that one of the things that's going to happen to you is that, you know, a high fever is common with this. And the fever is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And yet the big pharma companies will push on Tylenol and things like that to reduce your fever. You need the fever to kill the virus. It's a natural reaction. Okay? So you've got to really do your own homework. Do not trust these so-called medical authorities on this matter. Okay? And what I was saying was, yes, it's important to build up your own immune system through homeopathic remedies, natural remedies, nutraceuticals. I can only myself, and I will tell you this, that I know Dr. Bill Deagle personally. I've known him for 3 or 4 years, have followed his work since he went public on the Alex Jones Show in 2004, and have been in contact with him many times. He has the Nutramedical Report Monday through Friday and Genesis Communications Network.
No, RBN.
A lot.
Oh, no, Genesis.
And he also has, a line of nutraceuticals and preventative measures that will help you in this, okay? Now, I'm not making anything off of saying that. I'm just telling you what I do know and who I would recommend that you listen to get updates on this on a daily basis. So he is working with a team of scientists that are on his show regularly, okay?
Yeah, that's a very good show for people to be informed about. Nutramedical show. It runs, I think, from about 3 to 5 Eastern on Genesis Communications. I might be off a little bit. Genesis.com.
No, it starts, okay, noon till 3 Pacific, so 3 till 6 your time in the Eastern Zone, yeah.
Oh, so 3 to 6, yeah. And also, Dr. Carley, Rebecca Carley's show is very good on republicbroadcasting.org. So I encourage people.
Right,
and Len Horowitz is on BBS Radio, where we are now. I think he's Monday or Tuesday night. These are some of the most courageous doctors who have the expertise and are trying to, you know, to wake people up and also provide positive suggestions as to how to prepare for what's coming our way.
Right. I was going to bring this up too, and this is in the newsletter that I just put out to you today, so you know, I'm sure you'll gentlemen will have a look at it later. but comparing the H1N1 to the Spanish flu, what they have figured out is that the what caused the death in people in 1918 was something called a cytokine storm, or that is spelled C-Y-T-O-K-I-N-E, so cytokine or cytokine storms. And what that is, it is an over-response by your immune system to combat these things, and basically your own immune system kills you, okay? And that's important to know, and they have studied this for years. And finally, a drug was in development that would actually prevent that from happening. It was called OX40IG. And this was put out by a pharmaceutical company called Zenova, with an X, X-E-N-O-V-A research. That company was purchased in 2005 by a company called Celtic Pharma. Celtic Pharma, that's a bit of a misleading name, because what it is actually is not a pharmaceutical company, but a private equity firm that invests and buys up remedies, pharmaceutical remedies and so on. And what they have done is they have buried that OX40IG. It is not available anywhere, and there's no research anywhere that indicates that it is still being pursued in any way. Okay, so what they are doing instead, from what I've been able to look at in the last 24 hours, is that they're investigating everything else but that, including vaccines. Okay, so you have to understand the financial agenda behind this, that these people do not have your best interests at heart. Otherwise, they would have pursued this. This product would be on the market now, and it would be the absolute optimal thing to taking at this point in time if you've been stricken with the H1N1, but it's not out there. Why? Okay, there is an agenda here, folks, and people have to understand that, okay?
Yeah,
so if anybody wants more information on that, again, you know, email me at abig_secret@yahoo.ca, and I'll send you what I've got here.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Wayne, no, it's a pleasure to just have Dr. Rebecca Carley here. Dr. Carley, thank you for joining us.
Okay, I appreciate the opportunity to spread the word.
I'm the one who once called into your show and you let me read our policies, the CAP one. Remember that? About chemtrails and
what?
Forced inoculation and. It's a pleasure to have you on, and thank you for your contribution to the Canadian Action Party. You've been very helpful to us recently, Dr. Carley. And please jump in and share anything you have upcoming about the resistance movement, and we'll give you a few minutes, please.
Well, the most important thing that I am telling people what I would do if I was they is just say no to this vaccine. If enough people say no, there's nothing they can do. If people go to my website, drcarley.com, it's drcarley.com, there's a lot of information on there. At the top of the homepage, I now have a YouTube video posted of a show that I did on Republic Broadcasting on July 11th with three other individuals where we talked about this pandemic flu that was made by the WHO, and the vaccine is what's going to cause the pandemic. And there are two documents on there, their WHO memorandum that were written in 1972, which proves their intention, how they have been tweaking these viruses and doing things to create what they're now going to be delivering by syringe this fall, which they're calling a vaccine, but it's actually a bioterror attack against the people.
Yeah, I like your description of vaccines as the new weapons of mass destruction.
Well, that's exactly what they are. According
yeah.
to the government's own documents, vaccines fit the term, weapons of mass destruction, because they're biological agents which can kill you or cause disease.
It's so disgraceful that to think in a country like America there are like 1,000 biological labs developing biological weapons. And who do people think these are for? These people are not serving us through these biological weapons industries.
Right. Well, there's actually 1,088 biowarfare labs just in the United States alone. There's also something called the Special Virus Cancer Program, which was started back in the time of President Nixon. I have many years of documents of this program. They've been developing viruses to cause cancer for years, and that's what people have no clue. This is what we're paying our tax dollars for. They are creating disease. They are causing death and suffering, and then we're paying for it, not to mention Big Pharma with all their drugs which cure nothing, just give side effects and maybe alleviate a few symptoms along the way.
Is not a medical malpractice now the third leading cause of death, and probably even many of the other causes of death are also ultimately traceable to the same Big Pharma? And
well, they call it malpractice only if they do things that are, you know, causing death and maiming, which are outside of the traditional medical, you know, paradigms. In actuality, I'm sure that death by medicine has to be the number one cause of death in the world. Because
yeah.
They only admit certain errors, you know, like they're talking about prescription errors and things of that nature. All of these drugs are toxic poison. The vaccines are causing all autoimmune disease, cancer, non-traumatic seizures, and genetic damage in people and in pets. So if you really look at the extent of it, it is genocide. That's what it is.
Yeah. I wonder if I could just jump in at this point. Dr. Carly, my name is Wayne Pronte. I'm pleased to meet you in this way, and I want to thank you so much for all your work on this issue.
Okay.
I was describing before you came on, I don't know if you caught this, that some of the research that's begun on the 1918 pandemic flu was that a lot of those who died were undergoing something what was called a cytokine storm. I'm just wondering if you are familiar with that. And they are comparing, of course, the H1N1 to the 1918 flu. A lot of people believe that it's basically been cloned from that. I wonder if you could speak to the issue of what effect vaccines will have in this regard, as well as Tamiflu.
Tamiflu causes mutation of viruses, so that is going to make the problem much worse. And as we discussed on this show on July 11th, which I encourage all your listeners to check out, there was a veterinarian that came on that I work with, Dr. Patricia Jordan, and she talked about how they're now pushing a canine flu vaccine. That canine flu virus is even more lethal than the other viruses, so they're intentionally bringing out all of these different viruses. They're going to mix it up. People are going to be getting the vaccines. The pets will get the vaccines. The pets will lick the people. There's going to be all kinds of reassortment. And then you take Tamiflu, and that causes further mutation. As far as the 1918 flu, you can go to PBS.org, that's publicbroadcastingsystem.org, and order the DVD, Killer Flu. In that DVD, which is a documentary, this mad scientist by the name of Jeffrey Toffenberger from the Army Institute of Pathology describes how he and his minions went to Alaska and dug up dead bodies of people that died from the 1918 flu, because obviously they're frozen in Alaska, and brought their lungs back here, reconstructed it, figured out the genetic sequence. Now, why would they do that? And the answer is because they used that to make the swine flu / bird flu / human flu combo, which they know is going to cause a pandemic, because when they start injecting it into you in the form of a vaccine, there's no way of your body to get rid of it. And I described the difference between contracting a virus naturally by being sneezed or coughed on versus having it injected into your body in my paper on my website, Inoculations of True Weapons of Mass Destruction. When it's injected directly into you, you cannot get rid of it. it basically stays as an infection in your body and continues to mutate and combine with other viruses that you've had. So that's, it's not like a belief that they've done this. There's a documentary that people can get a copy of where they talk about it. And this is what we're paying
attention to. And they do it under the guise of wanting to get the vaccine.
Pardon me?
And they're doing this under the guise of wanting to develop a vaccine against a future pandemic, but every indication is that they've actually just released it.
Yes. Well, and also, let me just answer your question in regards to the cytokine storm. You see, the main damage the vaccines do that are presently given to children and pets and people is they cause antibody production. Those antibodies can attack you, causing autoimmune disease. They can combine with viruses forming what's called serum sickness, which can cause microvascular strokes and all kinds of other problems. Of course, there's all kinds of other toxins in vaccines like aluminum, which cause IgE production. IgE is the antibody of allergy, which causes anaphylactic shock, like all the children getting peanut allergies, things of that nature. So most of these vaccine reactions we've been dealing with all these years are due to antibody production. What they have now perfected, which is described in those WHO memos, which I encourage all of your listeners to read, they're written in scientific jargon, but you'll still get the gist of it, that they did these experiments to figure out how to activate T cells. T cells are the white cells in your body, and what happens when these T cells are activated is they release all kinds of chemicals, histamines, things of that nature, which are going to cause massive inflammatory reactions. And in the case of the flu, which pretty much, attacks the lung, you're going to have breakdown of lung tissue. Basically, people are going to be drowning on their blood. And that's called a cytokine storm when that massive inflammatory reaction occurs.
Wow. It's just a nightmare. The elites have been exposed so broadly, they're having to move ahead with their end game.
Yes.
I think they didn't anticipate how widely this worldwide truth movement, how much it would take off.
Well, see, that's the wonderful thing about the Internet. We know that they created it for their nefarious purposes, and I'm sure they're trying to figure out a way to shut it down. But, yes, the information is going viral. And I also encourage your listeners to type Georgia Guidestones into Google videos. You see, these minions have actually written in stone. In Albertson, Georgia, there are these huge, giant stone structures where they have actually written out their plans. And number one on the list is to decrease the world population to 500 million because they have decided that they want to control the population. They want to have, all of our stuff and all of our possessions and all the gold and whatever. So in order to pull that off, that's what they want to do. So their plan is to kill billions of people.
Yeah.
And when you actually see that written in stone, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen it in the video. I noticed we're coming down to the end of the show, so I'm going to try to wrap it up a little bit here. Dr. Carley, thank you very much for joining us today, and I hope I can get you back on another show.
Okay, drcarley.com, folks. Tell everybody you know, read those documents. We can stop them if enough of us just say no. Thank you for the call.
And Dr. Carley has an excellent show. Unfortunately, it overlaps with my own time, but she's every Saturday, 3 to 5 Eastern on RBN, not to promote another network, but these networks are working together and supporting each other. So Dr. Carley has an excellent show, What's Ailing America? Okay, Wayne, just to take any final comments and
absolutely. I'll just pick up where Dr. Carley left off, and that is that yes, it could happen any time that we lose the internet. That's what we've been using to network so far. We have to become the human internet. We have to get as much information as we can now, not just look and load it, save it, what we can. As I say, I've got these DVDs. If you want them, get a hold of me, and I'll tell you what the procedure is to get them. You have to get this information into your hands and get it into the hands of your friends, family, relatives, people at work, at college, whatever. Be the human internet. That's the only way we're going to stop this.
Yeah. Thanks for being on today, Wayne, and we'll be keeping in touch. I'm on your mailing list. I hope we'll have you back. We won't be letting I individually and Robin, and I hope CAP, Canadian Action Party, is going to take up this vaccine issue in a major way, and I hope we'll be joining forces with you. So thanks for coming today,
thanks,
Wayne.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Goodbye. Oh, Robin, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Quite a show, eh, Robin? I would like to go out on your song and hear it again, but I'll offer it to you. Did you have any final thoughts or comments?
Yes. TrueWorldHistory.info. That'll give you all the information. There's lots of videos on there, all under one site. If anybody goes to this thing, they will be very educated if they spend 2-3 hours and have a look around.
Yeah.
Because it covers lots. And this is all so real. Wake up, everybody.
Yeah, really. And thank you, Robin, for standing in there and for being part of the Canadian Action Party. And I hope you and I will get to meet this summer. I feel you're a brother and another warrior out there. Thanks, Robin.
I hope we can, too. Thank you, Mr. Ray.
Okay, so if Don at BBS, or if you can play some of This Is Sacred Land by Robin Shaw.
I remember all the stories my grandpa used to tell about a time in this sacred land. There wasn't any shame, there wasn't any pain. Yes, he said, they were so very proud. They lived a simple life, Mother Nature did provide. There was no law, but there was no crime. And then the white man came. He brought his way of life. Nothing fair to say the day the white man came. Yes, they brought and they brought the gun. They took away our land. They put us on the run. Locked us on this reservation. Changed our ways of life. Promises were made. They were only lies. And then the white man came. He brought his way alive. Nothing's been the same the day the white man came. Some days what he said, the nations they will rise. All the chiefs from long ago, they will be by your side. Into the battleground, a warrior you will rise. Armed with years of wisdom, many years of pride.